Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Father, we just love you, we worship you, we praise you, we adore you. Lord, you are famous here. We know that there's no other name, there's no other way but Jesus. Amen. There's no other name. We don't look to anything. Father, we look to you. We love you, Jesus. Say with me this morning, I am expectant to be interrupted by a God that loves me. I'll say that with a little bit more faith. I am expectant to be interrupted by a God that loves me. Third time, let's say it with more authority. I am expected to be interrupted with a God that loves me. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Thank you to the worship team. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a proper praise offering. Come on, you can do better than that. How will you worship? How will you shout? How will you? Are you expected that? Can God interrupt you still? Can God exceed your expectations? Can God do stuff that is greater than anything you can imagine? Come on. Do you still believe that? Do you still believe He's the God that has not changed? Do you still believe He's the God that's the same yesterday, today, forevermore? Do you still believe that He is the God that raises the dead, heals the sick, open up the eyes of the blind, open up the ears of the deaf? Come on, are you still expected that He can change your situation around? That He can take one situation, one moment, one call, one SMS, and all of your life changes? Come on. Come on. Are we still expected that He is the same Jesus that died on that cross, that rose again, that is a soon coming King? Are we still expectant that He can change us? Are we still expectant that He can remove all hindrances? Are we still expectant that demons bow down, situations bow down, authorities bow down, dominions bow down at the name of Jesus? Come on, I'm here to tell you there's nothing greater than the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you that there's nothing higher than the name of Jesus. Not your situation, not your past, not your failure, not your circumstances, not your pressures. Nothing but nothing. That's why the Bible says every voice and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Do you believe that? May Jesus come and interrupt you today. Oh, come on. May He interrupt you. May He interrupt your story. May He interrupt your past. May He interrupt whatever the enemy has said. And do something greater. Amen. If you believe that, give Jesus one more praise offering and then you're welcome to be seated. You look beautiful in power. Yeah. You can say that. Beautiful by Amoy. You can say I am beautiful because He just saves beautiful stuff. Amen. The Bible says you're beautifully and wonderfully made, by the way, so it's not unscriptural. Are you there? Are you expecting this morning? I'm expectant. God always exceeds expectations. I want to speak to you this morning about no other name. There's no other name. And I want us to go to Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6. I'm going to read for you. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6. And I want to say, what is in a name? Everything is in a name. Position is in a name. Authority is in a name. Entitlement is in a name. All of us have a name. Your name means something. It means you're positioned by Christ somewhere. And this morning again, as we stream across all the platforms and TV and all of that, may you know that there is no other name but the name of Jesus Christ that still saves, that still heals, that still redeems, that still restores, that still brings back to life. Are you there? Come on. There's a name that makes sickness bow down. There's a name that makes bacteria flee. There's a name that makes even the strongest in the world bow down. His name is Jesus. And we still believe in His authority. Amen. And so, I don't know if you've ever, I don't know how you grew up, but have you ever noticed that there's a way that you can say a name that gets attention? For example, when I grew up, if my mom or my dad would have said my name in a certain way, it got my attention. Normally when they were angry, they would pitch you, you know, with the fullness of your voice, or the fullness of your names. And at the pitch of how they say my name is normally, I understand the intention of what they're trying to do. In other words, the way they say my name tells me the attitude that's behind the saying. Are you guys with me? Everybody okay? Now, I'm saying that to say to you that you have to understand, when you say in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a response in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, because everybody knows the name. So when we say in the name of Jesus Christ, which we're going to speak about just now, we are not just speaking about someone. We are speaking about the highest authority. We are speaking about the name that's higher above any other name. We are speaking about the name that I'm going to show you just now, that every knee will bow down to, every tongue will confess to, and they will say in an anthem, Jesus is Lord. So I choose to do it now, when I still can, willingly. Amen. And so in Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Then Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet, his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood." Oh, I pray to God there's people that want this this morning. "And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." I want you to understand, this man, he sat with a beggar's cup. Every day, part of a system, people will carry him in, they'll leave him there at the gate called Beautiful, and there he will be stuck. I want you to know that there's people that like you stuck. God doesn't like you stuck. And as I was thinking about the scripture, and I was thinking about this beggar holding this cup, because it was part of a system that would feed him but not make him whole. Are you there? And as I read the scripture, Jesus spoke to me. The Lord said to me, he needed to let go, because this man sat every day, he sat with an expectation for his cup to be filled with a little bit of coins. But one day there came two men. Oh, and I pray there's two men like that, that are spirit-filled. And they didn't meet an expectation. They met him with a name. The man had an expectation for his cup to be filled of coins so that he can go and buy a bread or whatever. A spatula. I don't know. He had an expectation for his cup to be filled. And as I was reading this, the Lord spoke to me. And he said this, that the man needed to let go of his cup of expectation so that he could take hold of his destiny and the name that is in Jesus, or the healing that was provided in Jesus. In other words, sometimes you have to let go of your expectation so that you can receive the revelation who Jesus is for your life. As you sit here this morning, you have an expectation for what you believe Jesus wants to do with your life. I'm here to tell you, you need to let go of your expectation, because He has a higher expectation, something that will amaze your life, something that He wants to do extraordinary, because silver and gold we do not have. In other words, they were saying to Him, we're not going to meet your expectation. Silver and gold we don't have. They're lying. They had money. We're not going to keep you in the system. We're not going to meet your expectation. We're going to give you what we have. Who we have. And so Peter said, look at us. I like Peter. He says, look at us. And the man needed to look at him. And the Bible says Peter grabbed him by the arm and pulled him up. It's interesting that as Peter pulled him up, the Bible says this, And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. But then verse number 11 says this. But the man clinged to Peter and John. Oh, I'm going to go deep this morning. Listen. He needed to let go of his past. He needed to let go of his expectation. Oh, am I preaching to somebody? He needed to cling to what was new until he could walk again. Because begging was normal, walking was new. Oh, come on. Oh. Sometimes, listen to me, there are too many people in this hour that has an expectation that is so low, God doesn't want to meet that expectation. Because it doesn't challenge him. If your expectation is just for him to feed you, just for him to provide for you, just for him to keep the status quo, there's nothing for him to prove that he's God. But once you are fitted with the impossible, once you are trusting for the miraculous, now he can answer. Oh, come on. And you know what is the biggest thing about expectation? The biggest thing about expectation is we are in control. We like to hold the cup. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody? We like to stay in control because it makes us feel safe. But it also keeps you stuck. May I say that again? I don't know, every single one of you here, you have a certain pattern you follow every single day. You do stuff most likely every single day the same way. Look, I'm a very, very meticulous person. So I like to do things the same way, the same every day. Oh, are you there? Is somebody like me? In other words, let me use an example. I choose my clothes the night before. I lay it out. It gets ironed. I choose the way I'm going to dress. Is there anybody with me? I don't just stand in front of the closet and say, Jesus, speak to me. What must I wear? No, I like to plan. Who likes to plan? I like planning. So for example, I don't drive my car until the emergency light comes on and scream at me, dear Lord Jesus, go and fill me up. Oh God. There are many of you like that. You drive that car until that thing runs out on all forms of faith. And the angels push you and they're like ridiculously tired because you think that's the E stands for, you know? No, it stands for go to the garage. So I don't, my light in my car never comes on because I plan. Oh, when it reaches quarter, I fill it up. There's too many Christians that wait until their spiritual life goes on empty before they go to God to fill them up. You have to know when your tank runs low so that you can go and get a fill up by the Holy Spirit. And that is why the church is so important, because this is the filling station for saints. This is the place that you come to where we can fill you, because we have power greater than the world. Oh, come on. Do I have somebody that can say amen to that? Who of you love the church and the gathering of the saints? Just give Jesus Christ a praise. I want you to understand, this man was trapped, but he was in transition. So what looked trapped to man was in transition for God. Can I throw this out for you? Can it be that what trapped the man was a setup for God to make him get up? Was it maybe that because he was at the gate called Beautiful, he was stuck, but not stuck really. He was in transition. He's going to move to a new place. But for him to shift positions, he needed to let go of his expectation so that he could get to what God wanted him to do. If you study the miracles of Jesus, you'll find most of Jesus' miracles were done with interruption. He was interrupted with the lady with the issue of blood on his way to Jairus' daughter. He's interrupted when the blind man Bartimaeus cries out to him, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, are you guys with me? Interrupted. But God stops at interruptions. Jesus stops. He stops at the trap to get them out. Oh, come on. Listen, most of the times we are trapped on the inside and stuck on the outside. Can I say that again? We are trapped on the inside and we get stuck on the outside. And then what happens is before we deal, because what happens in you is greater than what happens outside of you. Are you with me? Look, you are not responsible for what happens to you. You are most definitely responsible for that what happens to you or through you. You have a choice to respond. Come on, do I have somebody with me here? Nobody can take your choice to choose. Oh. Prostitution might have been something that happened to Mary. But she was never defined ultimately by Jesus as a prostitute. In other words, there's many people here this morning, what have happened to you is not who you are. Oh, can I have faith? There must be greater faith. Because if what happens to you has defined you, then you don't need a God. If what happens to me defines me, why oh why will I serve Jesus? No, I serve Jesus because what happens to me does not define me. What happens through me defines me. The choices I make, the habits I create, I am my choice. Like you showed up at church this morning and everybody online, you chose to switch on that TV. You chose to watch me on Africa TV. You chose to watch me on YouTube. You chose to watch me on church. You chose to be in the house of the Lord. You chose. I want you to understand the devil wants to make choices for you and you can say no. Oh, come on. You can say no to loneliness. You can say no to betrayal. You can say no to offense. You can say no to being broke. You can say no. You can say hell no, devil. Just make up your mind. Oh, that's a belief. Can I mean say but amen and amen? Satan is literally like, in Afrikaans I wrote it down, he's like a gramophone plot. He just sings the same song over and over and over again. And if we understand how he sings, we can switch him off. We can switch off his tune and stop dancing to the devil. Because he wants you stuck. Come on, are you there? As I was reading this, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, Psalm, can we be real this morning? Psalm 32 verse number 7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And as I was looking at this, the Lord started to speak to me and he was saying this. He says, you quote the scripture, yet you don't make me your hiding place. And as I was thinking about this, I want to ask you a question this morning and I'm going to demonstrate to you now. The Lord said to me, where do you go to when you want to hide? What is the places that you go to? Because many people, they go to their past. They go to their failure. Are you there? Someone at the back. They go to their expectations. They go to people. Let me be more relevant. Where do you go to hide? Where do you go to hide your potential? Can I give you some? Some of you go and hide in Netflix. Some of you go hide in porn. Some of us go hide in alcohol. Some of us go hide in depression. Some of us go hide in our anger. And hiding places is places that makes us feel good about ourselves. But we refuse in that cave to deal with ourselves. And every single one of you that here, you have a cave that you go to where you go and hide from the world. Oh, come on. I know I'm talking true. There's men that sit here, you go and hide in porn. Because your wife doesn't do it for you anymore. Some of you, you need to switch off of Netflix. Come on, I'm not judging this stuff. I'm telling you, real caves. There's some of us that needs alcohol to switch off. Oh, come on. Do I have somebody here that's with me? Somebody loses their temper and we believe that because we have been under pressure and nobody understands our past, it's okay to be angry. No, it's not. The Bible says if you stay angry, you'll go to hell. Yeah. Wrath belongs to the Lord. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. you'll just get yourself into more trouble. Are you there? The Bible actually says people that are angry the whole time. The book of Proverbs says, be fearful to be friends with people that are hot-headed, because their life leads to destruction. True. And people go and hide in anger, or they go and hide in depression. How do I know there's real caves in 2021? Because we have a lot of reasons why we choose our caves. Come on, am I talking to somebody? And God wants you out of your cave. And I want to say this. Do you know, some of us, we hide in our fear. What if? What if this is not going to work? Well, the world threw us a massive what if 18 months ago. And the world is still trembling. And I believe that even though I understand that this thing is 100% demonically inspired, I truly, truly believe that we cannot major on the what ifs of the devil. Oh, come on. Oh, the Lord help me. Listen, you must major on what if God is setting you up for a greatest breakthrough. What if God wants to do a miracle? What if God wants to do a sign? What if God wants to use you a great me? What if God wants to prosper you? Come on, there's greater what ifs in Jesus Christ. What if you sat next to the road like blind Bartimaeus and God wanted you just there so that Jesus can pass you by? What if Jesus walks by your house so that when the doctors run out on you and you don't have any medical solution anymore, that Jesus walks by and you can walk out and touch the hem of his garment and you can still be healed? What if everybody else spat on you, everybody else betrayed you, but Jesus set you up that he can spit on you, that he can send you so that he can heal you? What if all the businesses failed because you didn't include the major partner called Jesus Christ, and now for the first time you are ready and humble enough that he can use you? Come on, are you with me? Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Greater is the God that's for me than the devil that's against me. Come on, give Jesus Christ a praise. Lord. It's interesting for me, listen, it's interesting for me that Elijah's in a cage. And he thinks it's a safe place. It's only safe because he's hiding. But it's a limited place. Come on, are you there? And as I was thinking on this, the Lord said this to me. He said, I want you to tell my people this morning. I don't want them to be confessors. I want them to be doers. It's not what they confess. It's what they do. Because the Bible says, be doers of my word, not confessors. It's not what I confess, it's what you do. I believe in Jesus, show us. I believe you can heal my marriage, show me. I believe you can heal the sick, well, go and pray. I believe he can heal my business, well, tithe. I believe he can touch my finances, well, stop being in debt. Apply his principles. Oh, come on, are you there? Listen. This is what he said. The problem is this. I want you to understand this. What happens is this. We do this too much. We take people often. And we want to please people. And even yourself. Before you want to please the Lord. And here's the problem with that. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to show you just now. Here's the problem. As long as you stay here, you can't go ultimately to where God wants you. And as I was thinking about this, the Lord said to me, what most Christians do, we literally place people in front of Jesus. And here's the problem with that. Listen to me carefully. You can't go through the door because people are tripping you up. Because the Bible says Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. So, but now I place people in front of Jesus. So what happens? I can't go through the door. Why? There's people in front of me. The Bible says you've lived to please the Lord. If you put people in front of Jesus, God is going to ask you for people. What you have to do is you need to love people, but you have to sadly put them outside this doorway, because there's only one doorway to happiness, and that's Jesus. There isn't another door. You can say, but I believe that people are the way. No, they are not. Bible says you need to love everybody. Bible does not say you need to like everybody. Some people you won't like, by the way. And if you say you like everybody, you lie, you fry. No. You don't like everybody. But if you put your expectation in front of God, in front of Jesus, Jesus will ask you for that expectation. Let me use an example. God says to Abraham, how's this for God? I like the Lord. He says to Abraham, Abraham, come here. Abraham goes to him. He says to Abraham, listen to the scripture. He says, then God said, Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Take your son, your only son. Huh? Is God's Bible wrong? Take your son, your only son. Take your son, your only son. But hey, Ishmael is already living. Ishmael is alive, by the way. He was the firstborn. But the promise is not yet born. The promise is of Isaac. Take your son, your only son. Father, right now, I just bless Faith TV and Africa as they go in the name of Jesus Christ. Faith TV, listen to me. As you become a message to Africa, do not settle for anything less than the full potential that God has for you. God has got a way. He has a life. He has the answer. Jesus is the door. There isn't any other. And Africa shall live. I'll say this continuously. Africa will live, will not die. God says to Abraham, give me your son, your only son, the son whom you love. But Ishmael is there. And God gives the promise to Abraham. He says to Abraham, Abraham, listen, I will make you as your name as great as the stars. I will give you an inheritance as great as the sand, sea on the sand. And then the Bible says, give me Isaac. I want him. Give me your son, your only son, the son whom you love. Weird scripture. No. What happened was Abraham started to love Isaac first. Then God. And God says to him, give me what you love. I want to be first. I'm a jealous God. Give me Isaac. And the Bible says that Abraham needs to make up his mind to give Isaac to God. And you know the whole story. And this is the problem, that if Abraham took his expectation of Isaac, his expectation was that God gave him a promise. God will give him an inheritance. God will bless him. God will increase him all the days of his life. But then the problem came. Abraham started to love the promise more than the promiser. And because Abraham loved the promise more than the promiser. There's many of you who sit here this morning, you love the promise of God over your life more than what you love the promiser. And so what happened? He put his expectation in front of God. It's like, I love Isaac and I love God. And somehow by doing this, God will fulfill my expectation of my inheritance. And God says, no, there's only one way. There's only one door. There's only one thing that how you will ever inherit the fullness that I have for you. You have to take your expectation of how I'm going to do this, and you have to take it out of the way, and you have to be willing to sacrifice it on the altar. And when I know you are willing to sacrifice that what you love, then I know you love me. And Abraham needed to take his son, his only son Isaac, and he needed to go put it on the altar. He needed to go and sacrifice it so that, listen, so that he would not trip over the way to the promise. The way to the promise was Jesus and Jesus only. And God wanted Abraham to understand that. Are you guys with me? There is no other way but Jesus. But Abraham thought he could jingle this thing where he can have an expectation. And actually what he was telling God, listen, thank you for the promise, but I'm going to do it my way. And God says, no, You're gonna inherit the promise. You're gonna see the fullness that I have for you, but you're gonna need to let go of your expectation. You see, by letting go of his expectation, it was only now possible for God to come through for Abraham. So God messed up his expectation because God wanted him to trust in him alone. Your plans will fail on you. If you sit here this morning and your plans have not yet failed on you, then you've not yet been human. Many are the plans of the man, but only the purpose of the Lord prevails. And the problem is this, is that we take these things. Guys, listen to me. I don't know, I've had many expectations in my life, but somehow through that expectations, I must get back to the Lord. I had an expectation that I will live until I'm an old man, seeing my dad become an old man, and we will do ministry together, etc., etc. That was not God's plan. Are you with me? So sometimes we have to let go of the biggest cup to get the promise. There's too many Christians that look like beggars, satisfied by the drips and the drags that God gives us. No, you have to have a rebellion in your own heart to say, no, this is not God. This is not my story. This is not how it ends. Oh, come on, guys. So many of you, you're sitting here, you're sitting with pressure, the pressures of life. How many of you have not had pressure? Pressure is simply privilege. The pressures you feel is the privilege you carry. In other words, all the pressure that you have should be from God. It should not be of the devil. In other words, if you have a privilege of pressure, that means the pressure is there because God is preparing you for privilege. I told you last week, I'll say the same. The reason why we have to understand pressure. Pressure is not there to destroy you. Pressure is there to make you, mold you, shape you. But woe unto us if we take pressure from the world and put it on us. You see, the problem is this. Listen, oh, come on, do I have some real Christians here? Come on, talk back to me just for a moment. Everybody online, please talk back. Share the gospel, get it out. You know what I learned? Listen, I've been in ministry for 17 years, so I'm just going to say it like it is. The pressures of this world is putting so many Christians in trouble. Because they're living out up to an expectancy that God didn't give. Can we talk truth here? Pressure. I need to look a certain way. I need to drive a certain way. I need to live at a certain place. Pressure. I need to be married when I'm 40 or 30. I need to have kids at 35. My business must look good within the first 6 months. My marriage must be, I'm also laughing. My marriage must always feel like sunshine and beaches. Pressure. I must always be the perfect mom and the perfect dad. Pressure. Remember how before you had children, you were saying to yourself, oh, I'll never do what my mom and my dad did to me. I'll never spank them like they spanked me. I'll never become angry. I'll never lose my temper like my mom and my dad did. Well, until you had little demons. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Then 3 o'clock in the morning when that child is not stopping screaming, you are wondering, dear Jesus, please remove this away from me. You haven't been sleeping for 48 hours. You say, woe unto me, for I'm undone. Come on, we have real people here. Yeah, all that marriage, that first year in marriage, oh, she's just gorgeous. Year number two, not that pretty. Am I talking right? Yeah. Suddenly the conversations become shallow. You start to bite at one another more than what you do anything else. Your marriage starts to have roller coasters up and down. The enemy introduces other people, smile at you nicely, say all the right stuff. And distance happens between husband and wife. If you keep on down that road, you'll end up in divorce. Where did it start? Pressure. He that humbles himself on the Lord and casts all his burdens upon Jesus, for he cares for them. You know what's the problem of humans? We think too much of ourselves. We think we can carry it all. No, you can't. Cast off your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. The Bible says cast. You know, don't be like the guy that when the pastor says, bring your burden to the Lord, you bring your wife, your husband. You know that joke, of course. The pastor said, it's not a joke, it was a true story. The pastor said to his congregation, said, please bring your burden to the Lord next week, Sunday. And so this man brought his wife. Okay, bad joke. I'm sorry. The point is, if you learn to cast quicker, you'll live a fuller life. Peter comes with his boat. He's like, Lord, we caught nothing. Nothing. Jesus says, cast your net onto the other side. In other words, do it my way. Peter could have said, listen, you're a carpenter. Go and make a table. But he trusts in the Lord. Oh. And the Bible says he casts his net. Oh, come on. Do I have somebody with me? He casts his net. He casts his net to the other side. And the Bible says there's so much fish, he doesn't know what to do with it. I'm here to tell you that there's many people here, you need to start to cast your net to his way. Because as soon as you do it his way, you're going to have a harvest that you've never ever seen before. You're going to have breakthrough that you've never ever seen before. You're going to have joy that you never... Oh, am I talking to somebody? If you are just willing to do what seems stupid so that he can do what it seems impossible. If you are just willing to get out of that boat and willing to cast your net and willing to walk after Jesus and willing to push through that crowd and willing to trust him with all of your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. I promise you, he will give you a life way more than what you could ever dream or imagine. But we have to cast. Oh, come on. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? You have to cast. You have to cast. Cast that depression. Cast that Netflix. Cast that porn. Cast that alcohol. Cast that anxiety. Cast it on the Lord, for he cares for you. Cast. But Jesus, I don't know exactly. Cast. Lord, how are we going to get through this? Don't worry. Cast. Cast. Lord, I feel lonely. I know. Lord, I feel betrayed. I know how that feels. I feel alone. And while I was alone on the cross, I feel I want to quit. Me too, in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Can't handle this pressure. Me too. I ask God to, if not my will, he has been done. Lord, I feel like I feel betrayed by my life. And me too. Judas betrayed me. Peter betrayed me. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Don't worry. Today's worries is enough for today. Bible stories about a God that is absolutely in love with you and about a people that give in to him somewhere along the line. Listen, here's the problem. Abraham does this, and this is what I want you to understand. Please listen to me carefully. The Bible says Abraham gives, he takes his expectation. God says, listen, I want your son, your only son. You plan this a certain way. It's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. So give it to me. By giving Isaac to God, it meant that only God was now the answer. In other words, God needed to either raise Isaac or the promise would die. It was actually a question now between either God is who he says he is or he's not. And for God to move from the promise to the promiser, he needed to test Abraham's heart. He said, Abraham, I want to see where your heart is at. I want to see, do you still love me? Do you truly, deeply still love me? Or have you started to love your expectations of your life more? Have you started to love people more than me? Husband or wife included. Have you started to love your pressure more than me? Have you started to love your boss more than me? Have you started to love your failure more than me? And you can say, Pastor, I don't love my boss. Well, how much time do you spend talking about it? You can say, I don't love my failure. Well, how many times do we don't gossip about other people's failure? Can I tell you what's the motivation between why we gossip and slander so much other people? It's because we ourselves feel better if we talk about others. So it's better to discuss other people's clay than deal of our own. Because all of you have clay, feet of clay. Me too. Are you there? My mom always said this. She said that people that discuss other people have forgot how far they've fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Oh, am I talking to somebody here this morning? Please just raise your hand. Just do something. Online, tell me. Am I talking to you? The Bible says Abraham needed to make up his mind. And he gave up Isaac. He said, there you have Isaac. He puts Isaac onto the altar. Think about this. Imagine this. He is sacrificing his son. Heaven silent. Heaven watches. The father is sacrificing his son. The Bible says he ties up Isaac. And by the way, Isaac went there by himself because Isaac could have overpowered Abraham, but he didn't. He goes, he trusts his dad. He trusts his father. Because Isaac, by that time, was a strong young man. He could have overpowered Abraham anytime. He could have said no. He lies on the altar. The father picks up the knife. The Bible says before Abraham, imagine you that are parents here. Imagine you holding a knife over your child. You place your child there. Because you believe in a voice that spoke to you. You have to understand, this story is ridiculous if you really listen to it. The faith levels here. Give me your son, your only son, the one you love. Knife up, ready to plunge. And as Abram is about to bring that knife down, God says, stop. An angel of the Lord appears and says, whoa, I don't need your son. I wanted you. And then the Bible says, God says, Genesis chapter number 20, the Bible says, God says, I don't need your son, I'll provide the lamb. And by the way, what appears then in the thicket is not a lamb, it's a ram. Why? Simple. Because 4,000 years into the future, another father will come. Oh. And he will allow his creation to bind up his son. His only son, the son whom he loves. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. And the father binds up his only son through his creation. Do you understand the amount of love here? He binds his own boy on the altar. All of heaven is waiting. All of the angels are looking in. The son is feeling the pressure. But he needs, just like Isaac, he needs to trust his dad. And then the pressure comes down. The sins of the world, the wrath of the world comes pouring on Jesus. The Bible says it is so much to him that when sin has had its full potential on Jesus, the father just can't take it anymore. He can't take it to look at his boy. The father turns his face away and he can't take it. The Bible says Jesus responds immediately. He says, my father, why have you forsaken me? Elo, 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 sabachthani. My father, where are you? And Jesus needed to face something Isaac never needed to face. Isaac was present of his dad. Jesus felt how it feels to be lonely. The Bible says at that point, all of heaven could have come. I don't know, 44, 12 legions of angels ready to respond. Jesus never gives the command. But don't you believe that the Father's heart bled? Why did the Father allow his son to be killed. Why? Because from that day until this day, the father wanted children to come in the name of Jesus. Come to my throne boldly to obtain grace and mercy. In whose name? In his name. So how do you get to heaven? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way to God. I am the truth about everything he is. Who is Father? Who is the Father? He's the one that loves you. He's the one that will sacrifice anything for you. He's the one that will give anything up for you. That's the Father. Philip asked, when will we see the Father? Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Come on, do I have saints here? You can't go to God in your name. You can only go to God in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ, the door goes open. In the name of Jesus Christ, sickness flees. In the name, because there's a name. There's a man connected to the name. That man is sitting. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was in full obedience to God. He lived that Bible 100%. And now you and I, we are now born again in his name. Born from above, John 3. Born from the Spirit, born in his name. Because he whosoever trusts in the name of the Lord our God shall be saved. So now we trust in the name of Jesus. We don't trust in Buddha. We don't trust in Hare Krishna. We don't trust in politicians. We don't trust in governments. We don't even trust in our own names. We trust in his name. Because he is the only way that we can access the Father. Oh, come on. Do I have saints here with me passionate about that name? That's why we are so passionate about him. Because he still opens the door. Jesus himself said in John 10, there's only one way to enter, and that's through Jesus. You cannot become part of the sheepfold any other way. And here's the thing that I discovered. Oh, come on, are you with me? Here's the thing that I discovered about Jesus Christ. He's not just the name. He's a shelter. Because what did I just quote? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Don't give me some golf clap here. Give me some. You know, I like Christians. They clap like we're watching golf. I know, we don't clap like we watch golf. Amen? We clap because we want to. Why are we so passionate? Why must you be passionate? Because the Bible says this. You are my hiding place. Who is my hiding place? Jesus. Jesus, I can't take this anymore. Well, come through the door, please. The Bible says, knock. And keep on knocking. Seek. And you shall find. This is how you should do it. Jesus. 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 I need you. Jesus, I'm tired. The Bible says Jesus will not ignore the knock. Jesus, Jesus, help my marriage, Jesus. Help my finances, Jesus. Knock and keep on knocking. And the Bible says, oh, come on, my Bible, your Bible says, knock and keep on knocking. And there's a Father on the inside because your Bible, my Bible says, there is someone in the inside. His name is Jesus. And when you call upon that name, Jesus, he's already on the inside because he's already been obedient. And then he opens up the door. And he says, what can I do for you? That is the picture of the gospel. That is the picture of the word of the Lord. Don't trust in man. Don't trust in horses. Don't trust in chariots. Don't trust in your business plan. Don't trust in your way of doing stuff. Don't trust that you'll fail. Trust in the Lord your God, because he'll never leave you, never forsake you. Listen, Peter, oh, come on. The Bible says, Peter said this, Lord, this will never happen to you. The word, oh my, never, never, Jesus, you will never go to the cross. You will never go to the cross. You will never. And Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. And then God says, Hebrews 13:5, it says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And in other words, oh my, never will I leave you. Never, never, never. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. But Lord, my marriage is in trouble. I know, but I will not leave you in that trouble. But Lord, my business is in trouble. I know, but I won't leave you in that trouble. Lord, I don't know the way out. I know, but I will not leave you there. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. Oh, come on. Do you believe in power? Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never. And here's the point. When the Bible says in Genesis 22:14, and Abram called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, it is the mount of the Lord. What does the word Jehovah Jireh mean? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. When is your provider? He's not your provider when you're hanging on to stuff. He is your provider when you've given everything to Him. When you've given your heart, when you've given your soul, when you've given, oh, come on, let's give Jesus just a praise offering. Oh, come on, take some time, just share this gospel. Just get it out. Share, share, share. When is He the provider? You know why so many Christians, can I say this? You know why so many Christians is broke? It's because they're trying to work this out. They're trying to make their own plans work. And then God cannot provide. He is not their provider. Because they themselves is God to themselves. Come on, church. We're better than that. So I'll ask you just this one question. The Bible says that in Philippians 2:9. I don't have time for that. The Bible just says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. We are living at the end, at the end. The Bible says according to 2 Timothy 3, you are at the eschatos. The word eschatos means the very last breath. It's the word, that's the word eschatos. In the last days, that's the word eschatos. We are there. All the signs is all around us. All of them have happened. 2 Timothy 3 taken place. 25 signs. Matthew chapter 25, 11 signs taken place. All of that stuff has taken place. But the signs won't mean nothing if you ignore them. It's like driving to Cape Town and you see a board and you're like, ah, it's just Cape Town's board. Don't worry. No. If you're going to Cape Town, look to the board. Look to the sign. The Bible says if we see all of the signs, know that the coming is at hand. So now is not the time to slip and slide and fall back into all the places we go and hide. Now is the time to love the Lord. Because He's coming. So as I was thinking about this last story, I want to ask you this question. What is tripping you up? What have you stacked? What have you stacked in front of Jesus? Have you stacked your expectations? Have you stacked people there? Have you taken your past? Have you placed your past there in front of Jesus? What have you placed there? What are there? Have you taken your pressure? And now you're not spending proper time with Jesus because you're busy? Have you taken your failures? What have you stacked in front of the Lord? Come on, are you with me? What have you placed in front of Jesus? Sadly, the reality is so many Christians' lives looks exactly like this. We say He's the way, but we trip ourselves up. How do we get back to life? It's simple. Remove the stuff that trips you up. How do you do it? Take them one by one. Remove the pressure. Remove the people. Remove the past. Get it out the way and get on with your life. cost, your burden, upon Jesus, for He cares for you. And so this morning, you and I have a responsibility, because this is the one thing, and I'll close with this, this is the one thing I've learned about Jesus. I didn't change it sound a bit. If I hold on to my cup, if I hold on to it, He will not take it. So Jesus is coming to you this morning, and He says to you, look at me. And you have a choice to look at Him. And then the next thing that you have to choose is that the hand of the Lord will come extended out to you. And you have now a choice to make. Will I hold on or will I let go? And let's be honest with one another. Everybody hates change. You know why? It just means you're out of control. But here's the awesome thing about being out of control. You're setting yourself up for the amazing stuff of God. And so here's where I find awesome grace out of God, out of this message for you. Did this message speak to you so far? Listen, here's what I find awesome grace about God. The Bible says when Peter and John grabbed that man and pulled him up, you know what was amazing for me about the story? Verse number 11. It says this, and the man, let me read the scripture for you. The man who was healed held on to Peter and John. In other words, when that man gave up his cup and he grabbed hold of Peter and John, his legs were not strong immediately. In other words, there was time, there was grace. And so God will allow you grace to let go of your cup, to take hold of your expectation. God will allow you to let go of your past, to take hold of your future. God will allow you to step away from that that bounds you, to that that frees you. And for the interim, He'll make you hang on Him until you can walk yourself. Oh, come on. Because that man was hanging on Peter and John. And the Bible says they didn't rebuke him. They just walked with him. And as he walked, his ankle bones received strength, his legs received strength, and now he jumps, he leaps, he praises God with the ones that healed him. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to give your cup up so that you can get back to the door, that you can get back to God, so that you can get back to your first love, so that God can do that what you want to do, what He wants to do of your life. You are not too old, you are not too broke, you are not too messed up, you are not. You are not. Say that with me. I am not. I am not my past. I am not my pressure. I am not my failure. I am not what people say. I'm what God says about my life. Because people are wrong. Situations are wrong. Failure are wrong. Pressure is wrong. They are wrong. I'm telling you, they are wrong. Your dad might have beaten you and said you were stupid. He was wrong. Your teacher might have said you'll never do great things in your life. They were wrong. You might be 65 and still broke, wealthy, and not dead. So you can still take the mountain like Caleb. And you can still be a millionaire. And you can still live your dreams. And you can still do it. You might sit here and say, I'm absolutely broke. I am divorced. I'm messed up. So what? God can send you somebody else that will love you better, that will take better care of you. But Pastor, I've got 3 kids. You never know if there's somebody walking out there that wants 3 kids, that can't have 3 kids, that will love you and your 3 kids. Who are we to say to God what He cannot do in our lives? Come on. Pastor, I'm in debt up to my neck. So what? The Bible says He can make a way out for you if you ask Him. I'm telling you, choose Jesus. It's the best choice. Oh, come on. Let's get Jesus. Amen. You know, it's time to respond to God. It's time to respond to God. It's time to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all that is within us. It's time to love God. I want us to respond in this holy moment. I really feel that's what the Lord is saying to me. Respond, respond, respond. And so there we are this morning. You have a moment to respond to the Lord. We have got hundreds of people watching us online. We have got people in all different venues. You can respond. And you can choose Jesus again. Come on. He wants you to choose Him again. I am the door. I am the way. I am the life. There is no other. So I want us just to take a moment, and I'll give the invitation again. You and I must make the choice. And we must do it now. Because there's a window of choice. Are you there? Are you with me? There's a window of choice. The blind man had a window. Jesus, son of David. Jesus was walking. The man needed to take his gap. The lady of the issue of blood needed to take a gap. Mary had Jesus at a dinner table. She needed to take a gap. And so you are here and hundreds online. You have to take your gap. And so I'm going to lead you and I'm going to pray for you now. And I'm going to ask you to respond. And then I'm going to challenge you. But you have to say, you must choose the Lord today. That's why His presence is here. He's backing up what I say. I'm not here on my own testimony. I'm here on His witness. I'm telling you the truth. Choose Jesus. And get rid of all this stuff. You are not a donkey. You're a king's child. Act like that. So I want everybody online, I want you to lift your hands. Everybody inside, you can stand. And I can, everybody online, I want you to stand. There we are, stand. Lift your hands to the Lord. And submit to Him in this day. Submit to Him in this day. And I want you to place a hand on your heart everywhere where you're watching me, and I want you to choose Jesus. So Father, in this morning you can pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I take hold of You in this day. I let go of my own plans, my own way. Lord Jesus, I take hold of You with all of my heart, with all that I am in this day, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, help me to cast my pressure, my past, my failure, people, expectations off me onto You. I ask for Your help. Help me, Lord Holy Spirit. Help me in this day. In Jesus' name. And there we are. I just want you to take 30 seconds. Just take a gap with Jesus. Come on, make him your focus. Just love him for 30 seconds. Forget about me just for 30 seconds. Close every eye closed. Just focus on Jesus. Come on, he's removing things. Some of you have to let go of that past, that pain, the drugs, the alcohol, the porn, the failures. Let go, let go, let go. Let go. Let go. Just let go. Lord, as your presence fills this place, as people focus on Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right across this auditorium, right across all the platforms where people are watching us. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that your Spirit will fill those venues, that your Spirit will fill those homes, that your Spirit will fill those houses as people turn back to Jesus. We thank you, Father. We're taking the gap. In Jesus' name. Come on, the Lord is healing many hearts. Many people are getting healed right now. Take that cup. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody online, I want you, as you throw up your hands, just say, I choose Jesus. Let me know, let me know. Chris, I feel the Lord saying to me, Chris Maropa, I feel the Lord, I heard your voice in the sermon. I feel the Lord say to me, it's going to change your environment. It's going to change your situation. It's going to change the circumstances. And the best is yet to come. I feel the Lord say to me, he's seen faithfulness. He's seen your prayers. He's seen your heart. And I hear the Lord say to me clearly, tell him environments will change. God's going to elevate you. God's going to lift you. God's going to promote you. God has taken note of you. And I hear the Lord say, in a moment it will happen like this, where I will change your environment and everything will shift with you. It's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen unexpectedly. And that what seemed like a lack will be like an overflowing river in your life, because the Lord is for you. He loves you, Chris. I hear the Lord say, I love Chris Marop. I love him. He's mine. I love him. I bless you with this word in Jesus' name. You carry favor with the Lord. I bless you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't you just love Jesus? Come on, won't you just love him just for a moment? He is absolutely amazing. William, I hear the Lord say to me that it's going to be better than what you've planned. Yeah, I see these plans that you've rolled out, and I hear the Lord say, tell him it's going to be better. There's a better plan. He's got a better way. He's got a better method with less traps for you. And I see the Lord take your hand like that and say, come and walk with me. He's going to show you things you've never seen before. And I tell you, as I look upon your life and I see the next 5 to 10 years of your life, it's going to be glorious, because the Lord's with you. But he tells me to tell you, it's going to be better than what you planned. Better than what you expected. It's going to be quick. It's going to be easy, because your heart is already with the Lord. And I see the hand of the Lord's going to be heavy upon you. You'll have to close your ears towards what people are going to say about the next 5 years, because that's what God wants to do. Is going to outweigh what people's got to say, but there are going to be a lot of people that's got to say stuff. And you'll need to choose what you're going to listen to, because they all want to say something about your future. But I see the hand of the Lord's going to be heavy upon you, and you're going to be very successful in your life. And many will follow you. You're going to be a new leader of a new generation, of a new era. But I feel the Lord say to me, be careful what you listen to, because faith is derived from what you listen to. It's not going to be your way. It's going to be His way. It's going to be better, much better. You've never seen what you're going to see. You've never seen what you're going to see so much. The power that the Lord has for you is going to astound you. Amen. Boitumelo that stands there right at the door. Boitumelo, I hear the Lord say to me, He's so pleased with your life. I hear the Lord say, He's sending someone to you that will love you like crazy, that will hold you, that will help you, that will assist you, and that will lead you. And I hear the Lord say, promotion is coming your way. Just stand there with her quickly. Promotion is coming your way. Promotion is coming your way. The Lord's going to lift you high. He that humbles himself, let the Lord lift him up in his due time. And I hear the Lord say, you have humbled yourself. Now watch as I lift you up. For the hand that you submit to is the hand that will lift you. I will lift you, Boitumelo. I will lift you high and to high places, more than what you ever experienced. In Jesus' name, I bless you of that. Oh, come on, let's say amen. Let's say amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen. Oh, come on. Pierre Marana, Pierre, I feel the Lord say to me that up to now it's been a story of interruptions, hesitation, hindrances, holes, and potholes. And I hear the Lord say to me, the next stage of your life is one going to be easier, it's going to be filled with peace, a new life is going to come back. The Lord's going to touch your body, sickness will go. You must not give up. Satan is trying to beat your mind to a pulp. He wants you to give up. He mustn't give up. God's going to give you new breath. You're going to find new favor. The business that you're in now, God's going to increase that continuously. You'll make money. You'll make money. I see favor on you for this new season. And I hear the Lord say, this next season is a new one. We've come through a rough winter. We've come through rough winters. I feel the Lord say it's going to be easy now. It's going to be easy. The tests are done. Tests are done. The winter of your life will be joyous. And as I stand in front of you, I see you gray. It's you old. I see of your children, your grandchildren will be the size of your chest, all of them. You will see them grow up. You'll not die before your time. You will live out your life. You'll live out your life. Listen to me. You'll not die. You'll live out your life according to the plan of the Lord. Amen. Come on. Oh, don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? I can't see, it's too far. There's a man at the back of a white jacket. White jacket there, right at the back. I feel the Lord just say, sir, I feel the Lord just say, right at the back. I feel the Lord say to you, He's taken notice of your family. He's taken notice of your prayers. You are not alone, and never will you be. I'll save you. I'll help you. I'll assist you. Money is coming. I'll say it like I hear it. Money is coming. Money is coming. Lord's going to help. It's going to help. He's heard. He's heard. Amen. Come on. Let's just give thanks to Jesus. Let's just give thanks to Jesus. Don't you love church? Don't you love church? There's a lady standing right there in the foyer. You have a little daughter. Is that your daughter? Niece, cousin next to you? Ma'am, you have green on. Just wave at me. Let me know we're talking. Okay. Is that your daughter next to you? You've cried out to the Lord for your family. And you feel like the Lord is missing you. And all of these people, He can single you out. And He is saying to you, He's making a way for you. Don't worry. You're going to live your dreams. all these pictures that you see, the dreams that you have, God says, I must tell you, I can do it better. I can do it quicker, but I'll do it my way. So trust Him. Just trust Him. He's going to do it. And that little girl that's next to you, God's going to pour His oil upon her so thickly and so widely and so deeply. She's just going to be a blessing to you, your whole family. I just hear the Lord say, I'll do it my way, but I'm going to surprise you with my goodness. The goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance. Amen. God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. God loves you. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Come on, let's just praise Him one more time. Let's just praise Him one more time. Come on, let's just praise Him one more time. Come on, let's just give the Lord a proper praise offering. We love Jesus here at Empower Church. We love the Lord. We love the Lord. Ian and Nicolene, I feel the Lord say to me that I see you. I'll demonstrate to you, then you can go and write it down. It's not another prophetic word, so don't analyze it. I see you testing waters like this. I feel the Lord say, jump. Just jump. Just jump. Just jump. He's with you. Just jump. I feel the Lord say, this is not needed anymore in your lives. You don't need to do this. It's like you need to test. The Lord says, no, just jump. I'm with you. And as you jump, you're going to see it's going to help you all the way. What the enemy, and I want to say this because I see it, what the enemy took, really, God will bring back in places and ways that you have never even imagined. Never ever imagined. I tell you the truth. As I stand here, I feel the Lord saying to me, He loves you. He's incredibly in love with the two of you. But He loves you without you doing anything for Him. You have to know this. There's nothing you need to do for Him to love you. I feel the Lord say to me, I must tell you, the two of you, jump into my river, jump into the system. And there's nothing you need to do for this. You just need to jump. I'll be right there. The Lord says, I'll be there. You won't be like Peter, you won't drown. I'll do some things that's going to amaze you. And I feel the Lord say to me, the seasons that's passed, it's got absolutely nothing to do with where you're going. But make sure those hearts are with the Lord and jump. You don't need to do this anymore. God's with you. It's going to help your children. It's going to help you. I just feel the Lord says, jump. Just jump. Don't analyze it. Don't think about it. Just jump. It's going to take faith. But that is how God works. Amen. I feel the Lord say to me, I must say it again to you. Jesus loves Ian. Jesus loves Nicolene. You don't need to do something for Him to love you. He just loves you. Finishing clock. Amen. Bless you guys. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on, let's just one more time. Let's give Him praise. Amen. Oh, tonight, I tell you, tonight's going to be a night of fire. I've prayed so much for tonight. I'm a little bit thinner as well. So, can we give to the Lord? Can you give to the Lord? Can you bless the Lord? Can you love Jesus back this morning? Come on, let's love the Lord back. Let's take a moment, everybody online, and all the different venues, all the different locations. Let's love the Lord.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's Word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.